The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Hallelujah. But at least we all have seats today, Nabi. I think that I can see. Okay. Hallelujah. I'll continue what I started yesterday in the evening. But this afternoon, I'll be talking about something else. Developing consistency. Developing consistency. Over the years, I've kept preaching on consistency. Follow my message for some time. I've preached it. I've counseled it. I've always emphasized consistency. And even in the next 10 years, I'll be preaching the same thing. At least that shows I'm consistent. Amen. I've always taught and emphasized consistency. You see, one of the things you have to go with from this meeting is that, like I said something yesterday, I said one of the challenges of our generation is that we don't know how to be patient with things. We are always in a hurry. We want to rush off now. We want to take off just this moment. And you have a lot of people, and what I'm saying is going to help your Christian life. It's going to help your ministry, and even in normal life affairs, your business, your academics, it's going to help you, because consistency, you see, is one of the major secrets of bearing fruits. I'm saying again, consistency is one of the major secrets. Show me anybody that quits, anybody that starts something and stops it, starts another thing, stops it. That thing can never produce fruits. Most businesses that are doing well today in the secular world, businesses are businesses that have been there for some time, and the person has been consistently hitting. You know, I told you guys something in church. I'll still come to that maybe today. I told you guys, a company like Coca-Cola, you've heard it, they sold only one bottle in their first year. Only one bottle in their first year. Like after you started a bottling company, you sold only one in your first year. That's enough to say you're not doing again. I get the point. But you see, any business that is doing well today is something that's been consistent. And if you must be a successful believer, a productive believer, you must be a believer that will be consistent with the same thing for a very long time. What does it mean to be consistent? To be consistent means to continue on the same course. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, Jesus was talking to his disciples about ministry, about serving him, about following him. He made a powerful statement, Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. He said, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit of the kingdom of God. Or for the kingdom of God. He said, if you put your hand to the plow, don't look back. Once you are going, you have to be there for a very long time. And in issues about the kingdom, you have to be there forever. And if you're not that kind of person, you're not going to be a very productive believer. You must be someone that can start something and continue for a very long time. You know, I used to say this whenever we meet. I've been here for some time. I've not stayed so long as maybe in ministry or something, but at least I've been here for some time. I started preaching actively, maybe not being a pastor, actively preaching 2006. And from then till now is about 14 years. And within this short time I've spent, I've seen people come and go. Are you what I'm talking about? I've seen people come and go. I've seen people that we are, let me use the word, madder than some of us. And they still left. I've seen people who their own passion for God drove them to do crazy things. Are you feeling hot? You're feeling hot? Come on, turn on all these stuff. Amen. Who their own passion for God drove them to do a lot of crazy stuff. But you find out many of them are nowhere to be found today. In talking about passion and then seeking God and all that, some of you that are complaining because the fan is on, you see, you have to get to some things. Complain because they put on, you see, travel out to You are not trusting God for that. You travel out to places that minus 32 degrees. Amen. Are you trusting God for that? Yeah, I've told them from this year, one of our vision this year is to increase both the fan and the AC in our church here, so that when you come to church, you learn to come on suit. Amen. Nobody will teach you. Y'all, you can buy suits all through, because you just come. That time will not be teaching you decent dress. Don't dress decently. Just be indecent. You will freeze inside the hall. Amen. Praise God. And now you see, many of them that were madder than us, as it were, they've stopped. You know, when we're talking about seeking God, of course, I won't use that term now. But, you know, I'm talking about, if I use that term now, talk about consecration and all that. But I had people that were seeking, you know, them, we are God chasers, you know. Chasing God. I know people that he drove to fast. Some stayed. I know someone that fasted for 7 days. 7 days non-stop. And see the amazing thing. He fasted for 7 days. He was seeking for divine direction. I'm not talking about 6 to 6. 7 days. And after fasting, the Lord told him he was to go into the pastoral. He stepped into the pastoral then in our then denomination where I was. And pastored less than 1 year, he stopped and entered business. After 7 days fasting. You know, amazing. But you see, if you're going to be a productive person, you must be constant. And I can tell you some of the reasons he stopped. You know, recently I was teaching on, maybe I'll cut that today. I was teaching on, that was at LMP, I was teaching on burnout in ministry. Can you remember? Some of them were at LMP. Some people are just burnt. You know, you just start, just do, you just get tired. But I don't teach you on consistency. And some of those things I mentioned that causes burnout in ministry are still the things that are responsible for inconsistency today. For instance, a lot of people are inconsistent because they are not seeing the desired results. And so, let me talk about prayer. You say every day I'll be praying 6 to 7 in the morning, or 3 hours every day. You now do it for them some time. And then you just get tired because maybe you're not seeing the results. You're not seeing the results. Some people have failed at past. I've stopped pastoring today. One of our beloved sisters in this church was telling me some time ago of a church she was attending, young ministry that was doing well. Suddenly the guy, for reason nobody knew, just stopped. Members came one day, they didn't see him again. And they called him, he told him, I'm no model. I'm telling you. Imagine coming for the retreat now. You now come around in the evening. And you wait for me, he didn't see me. Just say, maybe something happened, he didn't come today. Tomorrow, he didn't see me. Say, maybe something happened, he didn't come. Next week, you don't call me, says, I've not been seeing you. I say, you plastered there, I've left too. God help you people. And a lot of things causes that. One of them can be maybe the results. You know, sometimes in ministry, some of you are pastors. When stepping out in ministry, you pray a lot. You read a lot of books. You are just so sure that once you enter, something must happen. And then you now step in. And then in the first 1 year, if I wanted to say nobody even knows you, but you don't even know yourself. That first 1 year, if you even forget, if you don't even know, nobody knows, you don't know yourself, you don't even remember who you were again. And the 1 year will pass. There is a tendency to decide to stop. One of the counsels God gave me in ministry, I'm running ahead of myself already. I've shared this story with you more than countless times. And if I'm ever going to write my autobiography, anybody's going to write my biography, I must tell this story too. That day I was starting, I've read, I'm a good reader, very terrible reader if you know me. I read like a mad person. So I've read almost, in fact, every material I could lay my hands on concerning pastoring. I've read everything. Very good. So you should do such things. Amen. If you want to get into business, read very well about it. You don't jump into a line of business you know nothing about. And you now fail and start blaming God. So I've read everything. And so when I was stepping out, I was so confident. We've drawn a lot of plans. That's in 2 months, in 3 months. And then, maybe I'll say this that I just stepped out. I finished preparing, you know, I was going to start Platform of Grace today. A lot of fears and inconsistencies that were in my heart. And I was standing before the mirror, dressing up, looking at myself. And it just dawned on me that I was about to step into something that I was not going to stop all the days of my life. And then the Lord spoke to me loudly into my ear. That was that's the few times I had such experiences. I heard it and I voiced it immediately. He said, patience in ministry. That's what I said. He said, patience in ministry. I said, Lord, what? He said, calm down. He said, be patient. And let me say this to you. Anything that we've done over time must produce results. If you consistently do it, it will produce results. That's the secret of growth. And let me say it in another way. Most times, not at all times, things that grow very quickly don't really grow. They swell up. And you should choose not to swell. Rather, you should choose to grow. Because if you swell, you can be punctured. Are you know what I'm talking about? And that's why I'm going to advise you. Maybe, I'm not started preaching. I'm just, okay. I'm going to advise you. If you are going to do ministry, decide as a minister to do ministry the normal way. Don't try to cut corners. If you cut corners to growth, you will grow. But it's not growth, it's swelling. How will you know? That swelling up will not survive. In less than 2 years, everything will crash. And that's why people run ministries that cannot outlive them. Check every ministry that has been there for the past 20, 30 years, standing strong. It's had a process of growth. Are you what I'm talking about? You know, if you wanted to cut corners to grow this church, it's very easy. Forget that we are growing now. There was a time we are not. At least the beginning part. And if we wanted to cut corners to grow it, we could have done it. I knew meetings I could have put up. I knew, just save up some money, invite one popular comedian and, you know, something like that. Choose not to cut corners to do some things. Do you know when we started ministry and I decided to do it the right way? I had some people, okay, for instance, I had someone that left her church to come join us. She was a leader, a committed leader in her church. She came around and of course, then I was looking for all the hands I needed. You get the point? But I knew it was wrong for a leader to just pull out of her church like that and come and join us. So I sent her back. I said, go back to your place. Go and settle with them. I don't get the point. If you're holding the point, I'm talking to you now. You even if you want to join Platform of Grace, want to be my worker, you have your leader somewhere. Go back there. Settle with them. Hand over whatever thing you are holding. I get what I'm saying? Do things orderly. Don't scatter one house to come and join another one. And so I said that it was a tough thing to do. So said at that point, I needed all the men I could get. But I said, go and settle with them. Many people I did that to never came back. But I didn't just want to cut corners because I know that if we manipulate the system and grow, it will not take time. It will not even last. I didn't get the point. Every God-ordained thing has a process. Every God-ordained venture has a process. And you must be patient and consistent with that process. If it's going to be fruitful and it's going to last. There's a lot of things causing inconsistencies, but I may come to them later. To be consistent, number one, I said, is to continue. Number two, to be consistent is the same thing, means to be constant. To constantly do the same thing over a long period of time. It means to constantly do the same thing over a long period of time. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, Paul the Apostle was writing. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abound in the work of the Lord. He said, be steadfast. A believer must be a steadfast, unmovable person. A lot of people are not steadfast. Today, they are in this church. Next to some people in the past 3 years, you've been in 16 churches. What are you looking for? You are the devil, moving to and fro, looking for who to devour. You see, because you don't know how to be constant, you should be constant. People should be able to find you doing the same thing even after 5, 6, 7 years. And when you are constant, you know, this makes you very predictable. You know, God is a constant God. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. That's why God is very predictable. How many of you know that? You know what God is going to do the next minute. You know what he's going to do to that sinner? He will forgive the sinner. You know why? Why is he predictable? He has been doing the same thing for all the days of his life. I get the point. And that's how the believer must be. He must be a constant person. This makes you predictable. Because you've taken the same stand for long. People should be able to know
that, in fact, someone like somebody here should be able to know that if he travels abroad, I'm talking about church membership now, I'll talk about business. If he travels abroad and stays abroad for 25 years and comes back and calls you and says, "Hey, I just came back into the country. Please, where is our center located now?" You should be able to be confident to know that you will still be here. You say, "Which center are you talking about?" PG, that one. You say, "After PG, I've been in 16 other churches. And where I am now is the glory of the Lord movement. That's where we are now." Because you have to move with God. When God is moving, you move with Him. You're a very unserious human being. And let me tell you, you can never, let me even say this. I'm not in for fame. I'm not trying to motivate you, but let me say something. Check most ministries. I'll use Christ Embassy for an example. That have strong music ministers. Some of them have been there for the past 20 years. That's what I'm talking about. So like Sinach said, for more than 30 years. And you have to calculate 25 years ago, 30 years ago, this was the time when the church didn't even have instruments. I know what I'm talking about. He's being God, but you see our music ministers now. Huh? Everybody wants to blow. So what to just look out for? Which church is happening? Church. See, you cannot find your footing in such places. Even if you go there, you see you have to stay there for a long time. No sane pastor releases his pulpits to you so quickly.
Everything.
No sane pastor will give you a platform so quickly. Not me. Not me. Because you know, tomorrow we are growing now, we are getting influence. One of the things the Lord said He will do for us this year is that our sphere of influence will be so enlarged. You see a lot of people who tell you, "I have 3 albums. You see, if you come, you have to join the foundation school. Maybe that time the choir have started screening people to join them. I will screen you out. Screen you out. Amen. What am I saying? To be consistent is to be constant. And one thing consistency does, consistency brings mastery. Mastery. If you're going to master something, you must do it over a long period of time. You know, I've taught this over time. Spiritual gifts, for instance. You want to master, say, "I want to be able to give word of knowledge very well." Just be doing it over a very long period of time. It will bring mastery. You see, even what you call the teaching gift, you want to be able to be a good teacher. Some of you that want to flow so much in that. Start teaching. They give you a cell. Take yourself serious. Be teaching there consistently. That's why I'm a better teacher today than I was 3 years ago. Why? Because I've been teaching over a long period of time. And I'll be a better teacher next 2 years than I am today. You get the point? How do you know you're a better teacher? I'll tell you. It's a very simple thing. If you can be able to explain the same things you explained 10 years ago in a simpler form. You get the point? In the simplest form, then you're a better teacher. And so, consistency will bring mastery. Talk about your business. You want to be able to become a god in one line of business. Do it over a long period of time. Consistent, not stopping. Continue doing it. You make mistakes, you repeat it again. You make this. Before you know, you will master that business. You will master it so strongly that nothing can shift you. But you see, that's not the case with many of us. Some of you, you've not mastered one thing. Because, not because your brain is dull, but because you are not consistent with it. Some of you, prayer is still a struggle for you. See, answer is simple. You have not mastered the art of praying. You know you learn how to pray, hope you know. They say you're a prayer being, but you see prayer, you learn it. You see, to stay long in prayer, you learn it. You get the point? And to master the art of prayer is to consistently pray. The reason why some of you have been in church for like 1 year, 6 months, and yet when they say let us pray, they just pray for 30 minutes. You are just so restless, you are looking for what to touch, you are arranging the seat, you are setting the bulb. Who sends you all those messages? Pray! You get tired once we start. Why? You've not mastered the art of praying. And how to master the art of praying is to pray. You see, that's why the instrument section, they will always tell you, when people are praying, normally tell them, pray. Even if you are to be on the keyboard, be praying. Because how to learn to pray is to consistently master the art. It's a consistent thing. I know what I'm talking about. Evangelism too. You want to learn how to reach out. Be consistent. Consistency will bring mastery. Now, let me bring it to your academics. So some of you, have you noticed? Let me give you an example. Have you noticed that some of you, how many of you stayed at home for a very long time before you gained the admission? I'm sure you did. Now, did you observe that when you entered school, it was a very difficult thing to read? You know, by the time, some of you, when you enter school, you forgot how to read.
Hallelujah. You now enter. You see, you see, the first time you bring the book, you just look at it, just sleep up. Another place you experience this is if you leave school and you start home for like 4 or 5 years and can't start your masters. Your life will just be a mess. You'll be struggling. It's not because you cannot read. Some of you, when you were in school, secondary school, you used to do TDB. Who tried TDB here? Let me show you. Oh, some people. Do you still do it now? Look at your life. But you know, do you know there was a time, even let me give you an example. And from tomorrow, from Monday, in Platform of Grace now, we'll be fasting. Did you hear what I said? From this Monday, it will be a general fast. And some of you are already looking at me like, Jesus Christ, fast. And you know why fasting is a difficult thing for you? Consistency. Do you know when I fasted for 1 year, for whole 365 days of the year, I fasted to a point that when you wake up, you now forget you're going to eat. My body has mastered it. It was nothing. 6 to 6. I do 6 to 6. Then most Fridays, I'll go to one chapel event. I'll go to the chapel and stay in there Friday, Saturday, and break it on Sunday for a full year. Most Fridays, I didn't have any meeting outside. It got to a point my body just entered. Everywhere, I became slimmer than I was. My body entered. Everything just agreed. And say, fast on. Why? Because it's consistency. But some of you, this fast I'm talking about now, you find out that by Monday, you possibly break by 11:58 because you'll be struggling for 12 to knock. And see the reason, because it's been long you tried it. It's been long. That's why one of the things I'm going to give you this year is there are some strong spiritual disciplines you should cultivate as a routine. Do you have a day you fast every week? You should have fasting days in the week. For a start, one. When you grow, two or three. At least three in the week. Have such things. Let you train yourself consistently. At first, it will not be easy. But when you do it for like 1 year, your body will master it. You know, when I was teaching on prayer first, I told you guys, one of the strongest ways to develop a prayer culture is to have a prayer routine. Can I remember I said that? A prayer routine of, I'll be praying by 5 a.m. every day. Or by 11 p.m. every day. If you build that routine for 6 months, your body will master. Do you know, if you build a routine of, I'll be waking up by 4 a.m. to pray every day. Even when you go for program and wake up by and sleep by 3:30, you wake up by 4. Your body will wake you up. Consistency will make you master some things. And that is the same thing you're going to carry to your academics. Some of you that are students here, you have to carry the same thing to your books. You have to read. That's why you will not read, you will not open your book until they say, and that's a timetable is out. So I say, hey, let me give an advice. If you're in the university, that is how to fail. So in secondary school, that thing can work for you. Hope you know. In the university, if you're not reading every day, you will just be either average or below average. Take it from me. You think once exam is reaching there, hey man, I go show them. Either you are average or you'll be below average. Ask anybody. Ask yourself. How will you ask yourself? Ask your previous results. Look at it, because you will just be below average. You should be a consistent. And you know, when you're a consistent reader, for instance, in school, when your exam is coming, you only revise. I didn't get the point. And talk about that. Some of you are guilty of what I'm saying. See the way the smiles are just. I know you. Don't worry. I know you. The Lord showed me before I came. I know who you are. Hallelujah. Awesome. You have to read your book. Now talk of business too. You know, some of you, let me tell you, you start a business. You come out the first day, no customer comes. You came out by 7. Came out tomorrow by 7, no customer. Come out tomorrow by 7, no customer. The next thing, the tendency is that on Thursday, you come out by 9. Before you know, by 10, you are an inconsistent person. Your mind doesn't tell that it's by being consistent. You know, look at a lot of things. One thing you must note about me, and I'm proud of it, I'm someone that has been doing one thing for the past, how many years? My past 11, 12 years of my life. What we call Platform of Grace today, was there a time we didn't even have anything? There was. Was there a time we were looking for members? Was there a time we didn't have venue? There was. There was a time we lost our venue and we started meet. We didn't have any venue at all. We were holding services in people's houses. You say, today service is in your house, tomorrow service is in your house. And you think there was no
shaking in my heart. Maybe there was, but I've learned that it was Reverend that says me one day, he said, anything that is done consistently over time must grow. Even if it's a bad thing. I didn't get the point. Even if it is a bad thing. It's just that there is a, if you are not doing it well, it will take time before it grows, but it will shall grow. Take one grain of rice. Be keeping one grain of rice on this table every day. One grain every day. It's a matter of time. One day, rice will fill up this place. Just be doing it every day. That's why I told our pastor something. I'm going to say to you, make sure you are moving. Make sure you're not standing still. Just make sure you are moving. Consistently moving. It's not working. Just make sure you are moving. Consistency is what brings it. Read the biography of many great men you know. They were consistent men. Great men are men of great habits. I said again, great men are men of great habits. They are men of consistency who have been doing the same thing over a long period of time. A well-respected man said to me one day, he said, look at any ministry that has strong foundation in this country. They've been around for at least the past 10 years. I said, is it really true? He said, yes. I said, but as some ministries that will tell you, we just started in 3 years or 4 years. He said, look at those ministries. Some of them, they started church 3 or 4 years ago, but they have been doing something else. Maybe ministry that they now turn into church. And it's true. I get the point. It's true. Things must grow when you're a consistent person. Because consistency will bring mastery. Okay, and like I said, it always bears. Let me show you something. Genesis 49, verse 4. Genesis 49 and verse 4. Okay, let's start from verse 1. Let's see how you get the flow. In verse 1, Jacob was talking to Reuben. He said, and Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. And I said, he went up to my porch. But look at what he said about Reuben. He said, he will not excel. Why? You're unstable as water. Let me tell you, inconsistency does not excel. That's the truth. Once you are an unstable person, you will not excel. It's not even about Jacob cursing him. It's the fact. Because Reuben, you are not a man that is known for one thing. You are here today, you are there tomorrow. You won't excel. Take what I've given you into anything you are doing, your business. That's why I'm going to give some counsel today. Want to do something, you pray. God tells you this is it. Stay there for a long time. Put up maybe another translation of this verse 4. And as he said, but you are as unruly as a flood. As a flood. Today it's up, tomorrow is done. Check another translation. King James said unstable. NLT said, NIV said, turbulent as the waters. I get what I'm talking about. Turbulent as the waters. You know how the water, the waves of the seas are. Just like that. Just like that. Just like that. Let's say amplified or something. But unstable and boiling over like water. And that's how many of us are. Today you are starting, tomorrow you are stopping. I want to ask you, do you have, for instance, talking about getting visions from God, do you have a vision that you've gotten from God that you've pursued consistently for the past 2 years of your life, 3 years of your life? Do you have such things? Or are you busy changing? Some of you, the way you change line of business is like, which one they sell now? You just change. Which one is selling now? They tell you, see, you're a Kerikan, I got an Afia now. You now change. Now tell you, it's no more Kerikan, it's now Long Reach. Hallelujah. You now change. Tomorrow they now say Long Reach is no more paying, no. It's now Oriflame. You are everywhere and nowhere, and you cannot succeed. Let me even tell you, some of you doing Long Reach. Hallelujah. Check all those people. Let me tell you, I don't know about Long Reach. I'm not advertising for them. I can't even advise you to do it. And I cannot advise you not to do it. Because I don't know anything. But then, check all those people that you see. And how do they even rate that thing in Long Reach? This one is Diamond. People that are now earning big. They're now telling you, this one bought a car, won a trip. Check when they started that thing. It's been long.
It's been long. And they post it every day on their timeline, every day.
But yeah, you find out, you just enter, you just enter, say, this is not paying, no. You now run.
What are you looking for?
Blood money. You see, even if God works a miracle in your life and you hit big money, which I believe will happen to many of you this year, but then you still need consistency to sustain that money. If you're not doing something consistently, that money will still vanish away the same way it came. And I said it in this church. God works a miracle for many of us and we use our carelessness to mess things up. You get the point? Think of all the big money you've gotten in your life. Where are they today? Where are they? Because you're not doing something consistently over time. And you see, I said something in my note. I said, consistency always tries again. Even if it failed, it never quits. A man once said, quitters never win and winners never quit. Consistency knows how to try again. You launch one strategy, it doesn't work. Try again. That's consistency. Stop thinking of quitting. You know, I've been reading books, they tell you Mark Zuckerberg was a school dropout. This one is a school dropout. You don't want to be a school dropout. At least they dropped out to do something. I still went back to school at the end of the day. You don't know, any of them are master's degree holder. There's a school dropout, you don't want to leave school. School you have started, you've done for 2 years, you want to go. You're not a serious person. Consistency knows how to try again. Knows how to try again. Anything you're going to do, you're going to, you know why, one reason why, you know, one day it was Reverend that said to me one day, he said every church, a church, a pastor should model something for his people such that they will carry that same thing and take it into their personal lives and their business. One reason why I model consistency here and seriousness with my work, so that you will take the same consistency back to your business and workplace. I get the point. The same consistency. You see how I do my work seriously? How I face it? Some of you are in Enugu Church, you know I'm always here. Every time I'm here, take that same seriousness back to your business. That same consistency. Don't be an inconsistent person. So even when it's not working, try it again. Try it again. You try once, didn't work, try it again. It will work. I thought about Coca-Cola. You read many books, that, a lot of books that talk about great businesses and all that. Some of them, when they were starting, how many of you know there was a time that Google wanted to sell and Yahoo refused to buy Google? Where is Yahoo today? Yahoo refused to buy Google. See Yahoo? Can you imagine? They wanted to sell. They said, no, you guys. They looked at Google and said, this is not a productive venture. But some people went back to that drawing board and kept firing. I didn't get the point. And let me talk about football, for instance. Look at football clubs. You know some clubs that are relegated today to League 3 once lifted the league some time ago. Now, why didn't they shut down their league? When they started going there, they said, we're not doing it again, no. What do? They keep changing players, changing managers, again, changing strategies, or they will keep going. And some clubs, you know, it's not like Barcelona now, it's over 100 years. Over 100 years. And then you started something 2 years ago and it's not working. You say, it's not working. Who told you? You're an inconsistent person. And some of those clubs you have seen, there was a time they didn't have one stadium. It's not been long that Man City even got their stadium. Tottenham too, it's not been long. Most of these clubs. And they've been there for long. Oga, just keep striking the team. I don't think I was saying, keep striking the team. 10 years, continue. Don't be an, except for some reasons, I'll say come down shortly. Except the Lord did not lead you there. But you have peace in your heart as a believer towards something. Don't run from that thing. Stay there. I know what I'm saying. And what I'm telling you, some of that in ministry, I'm telling you the secret of whatever. If you are someone that goes and comes, one day you will go, you will never come again. You never come again. There are people here that, some of my people here, just do programs. Some of them, when they are starting, you know, and because some of you have been around me for long in ministry, nothing should discourage you again. You put up program. Do you know the Lord led you? You saw visions about this meeting. And you started putting up the program, and only two people come. I don't know, two is a crowd until nobody comes. But you know, sometimes it's so painful because it's not like you are on serious. You did everything. Amen. One day you are still going to stand and tell the story like this. That's the truth if you don't quit. You know, I have stories. So there was a day I went to Maya for a meeting. After ministry in that meeting, I was rushing. That's a few years ago now. I was rushing to meet up with service. I came that day. There were only two people in church. They were patiently waiting for me. And I came in. You can imagine how much I spent. Rain was even falling. I entered the rain. I want to be in church. I came. I saw two people. Imagine how I felt. But I felt good about it. And that's one thing I'm going to tell you. You see, whatever God has committed to your hands, value it. You can say, value it and be proud of it. I was proud of my two congregation that time. Very proud. I know I liked them. That day it was raining heavily in church. And our church then, if you know our church then, rain was beating them. But they waited for me. So I was happy they waited for me. So I came. Why shouldn't I be happy? I came. You see, you must be a consistent person. Don't be a quitter. Tell you guys a story. Reverend Peter now, popular everywhere, speaking on TBN. Oh, you see that? Everything had a process. It's a few years ago, not even too long, started a meeting. They started their church. it's one of those days. I've told this story before. They put up a meeting. If at then there were only three in church, including him, like him plus two people. So they finished service on a Sunday, and they all joined hands together to plan a mega program the coming Sunday. Mega program. You get the point. And that next Sunday, those two people traveled without telling him. And then he came to church. There was only one person, a new person in church. First, he came and he didn't see anybody. After some time, that new person entered. And, you know, he said, he just told him, welcome. He sat down. What should I start doing? Should I start opening prayer? Or start? He said, he just went out. He was pacing up and down. He was angry. What of nonsense is this one? We plan program, you travel. He said, as he was pacing, God began to encourage him. You know, I called you. I think, you know, all these kind of things. I said, he went back. He said he entered and preached to the man with anger. Jesus loves you. So when he finished, the guy didn't come back. Understandably so. He didn't come back. Jesus loves you. You better mind yourself. That kind of thing, if a condemnation preacher. If you sin, you go to hell. Think I came here to play. I mean, you know. But you know, that was enough to just stop and throw in the towel. Can I tell you something? Go to, you see, and you see, when you see the way the influence is growing all over the place. And that's why I've said this time without number. One day, people will look at us and say, this church from nowhere. And I've kept telling you, we did not come from nowhere. We've been around. There's this tree called the Chinese bamboo tree. I've told you about it, right? It takes many years to grow. But you know the secret of that tree, when you plant it on the ground, it doesn't grow out. Sometimes for 8-10 years, you will not see anything. But in less than 1 year, it becomes bigger than the local tree. It was developing roots inside. You get the point? But if I'm careless, you say things like, hey, these trees have nonsense trees. Since they planted you, maize that finished growing and died. Hallelujah. I'm a consistent man. I get what I'm saying? It's always twice again. It does not quit. Consistency has what I call staying power. Grit. You know, many of us lack staying power. Cannot stay over in the same thing for a very long time. Even in prayer, many of us lack staying power. If you put up now 3 hours prayer, before you know, your leg is doing, and it's consistency that builds such things. Grit. And let me say this to you. One of the major secrets of being consistent, I'm already going to get into it shortly, is one of the things I want to know. Consistency works against feelings. Because if I tell you now that I've never felt like quitting, that's a lie. Yo. Sometimes you feel like running, but consistency works against the feelings, how it feels. If you're a man led by your feelings, you're not different from a dog. Because that's how dogs are. They just follow their feelings. It's amazing when you begin to train animals.
Animals are the most interesting thing. You train pig. A mother gives birth to about 10 piglets. You sell all of them. You leave two male. Give them 6 months. They started sleeping with their mother. Pigs are mad. Your mother that gave birth to you. But you see, it's just their feelings. Do not. Hallelujah. It's just their feelings, how they feel like at the moment. Don't follow your feelings. Sometimes you should want to do something. Saying, sometimes your body should be telling you, just like now, some of you are hungry. Deny your body food. You know that's the key thing about fasting. Fasting is to deny yourself food because you want something else. And so you must have stay in power. And let me tell you, one or two things I want to develop consistency over. Number one is the word. You must be consistent with God's word. By God's word, I mean studying it, learning it, confessing it. You must be consistent. Now, I was talking about the word. I'll talk about confession this evening. So let me just leave that. Studying the word, learning it. You cannot be a student of the word that has grown and become effective by just hitting at the word now and then. No. Have a consistent study routine. You see, that's what I'm going to tell you. You see, what they trained you up with in your family as quiet time, for some of you that came from Christian homes, it's not outdated. You see, since you started living on your own, you don't even pray again anymore. You don't even remember the last time you opened your Bible. That's on seriousness. That's irresponsibility. And that's an echo. That's why you can never grow in the world. Studying the world and learning the world, you must be consistent at it. Very key. That's why have a routine. Let me give you some kind of routines you can develop. And every day, I'll give 30 minutes, 45 minutes to study the Bible. Every day, I'll listen to at least one message. Every day. Not every week, every day. Gradually, you are building so much strength. I said this yesterday too. Remember? What I'm talking about, renew your mind. Every day. I'm going to give time to study in the Bible. And that's why sometimes at the beginning of the year, I give you assignments. And the reason for those assignments I give you, study assignments, is not because I want to give you an assignment per se. I didn't get the point. It's just to help you have some kind of consistency. But then what some of you do is you will not do the assignment until 1 week to when you're going to pass it. That's how you treat your assignment in school. You now say, Papa said you should study the whole Old Testament. You think it works like that? And my assignments are from God. You can never finish them in 1 week. Even in 1 month, you can't finish them. Like when I told you, study 10 books of the prophets. With Isaiah inclusive. You can't finish it. And not just to study and write. Verse by verse, you are writing. Even in 2 months, you cannot finish it. And what I'm trying to build into is to, because you know, I prefer in that assignment that you begin to read every day one chapter. Every day one chapter. It's more productive than trying to do an assignment. Consistency with the word. With the word. Very key. Continue. Paul will tell Timothy, continue thou. That's it. That's 1 Timothy 3 verse 14. Continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them from. 1 Timothy 3:14, if I'm not mistaken. Say, continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and have been assured of. He said, knowing of whom you have learned them from. Okay. This 15. Maybe I'm missing it. Check chapter 4, verse 14. Let me see. Paul 14 says, neglect not the gift that is in you. Okay, so that's not it. Okay, check 2 Timothy rather. Let's see. But then it says, continue what you've learned. So a believer must be such a person that continues in what he has learned. Check 2 Timothy 3:14, I think. If we're not missing it, that should be it. Have you checked on your phone? On your scripture? Yes, I think 2 Timothy 3:14. He said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. And as we are assured of knowing of whom that has learned them from. He said, continue. What have you learned? Talking about the word, doctrine, for instance. Many of us are
are very inconsistent when it comes to doctrine. What do you really believe? Today you are hearing grace, Jesus paid for your sin. Tomorrow you go to somewhere else where they are telling you that God is punishing you. You can never be a person that has grit. You can never be strong over anything. You must continue what you have learned. What have you learned? If you're learning the gospel, do you know it's better for me that you are out there learning everything about condemnation and who you are not in Christ, and learn it consistently for 7 years is better than that you are here and you are there mixing some things, some terrible combination. I get the point. Mixing bread and mixing suya, both of them at the same time. Hallelujah. Always have something, be eating one thing. Continue in that thing. In the word, continue. Consistency, continue in it. Learning the word, practicing the word, confessing the word, studying the word, teaching the word. Always be consistent with that. Okay, then second, I will say be consistent with prayer. You must build a consistent prayer life. In 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17, simple instruction, pray without ceasing. You see, as it is, pray without ceasing. Always pray. And so you see, prayer, as I've kept teaching, is not what you do once in a while. Prayer should be a culture. And let me tell you one assignment, one thing you must do for yourself this year is to develop a prayer routine. Please do it for yourself. Prayer routine that has time. Don't just say, I'll pray 2 hours every day. Don't say such things. Which time will you use to pray for the 2 hours? If you say you pray 2 hours every day, what you are telling yourself is, any spare 2 hours, I'll pray. That's not how to do it. Create the time, put it in your timetable. 3 to 5, I'll pray. I get what I'm saying? Because you know life can be very tasking and demanding. Hope you know. Sometimes your day can be so choked up if you don't consciously tell yourself. So check your routine, for instance. Check your day, how your day runs. Check your time and your day and say, okay, maybe I have time around 11. I can say 11 to 1. I get the point. And that's why I've said it when I was teaching on prayer first. You see the reason why some of you, when you change levels in life, your prayer life and study life begins to go down. I'm telling you the reason now. Change levels, I mean, you be a student, when you graduate, your prayer life begins to go down. Or when you get a job, it begins to go down. Why? Once you are changing levels, you should start readjusting yourself to another kind of routine. You know what I'm saying? Because your timetable for the day has changed. Even when you change jobs, your timetable changes. Do you get what I'm talking about? So be a person of routine. You must pray without ceasing. Build a constant prayer life. In fact, one of the things I'm going to say when I'm closing this meeting is this. One of the strongest ways to develop consistency is to start with prayer. If you build consistency in prayer, you will build consistency every other part of your life. Prayer is one of the strongest ways to build consistency. Show me a man that is consistent with prayer. I'll show you a man. And let me say this to you. You want to change the world? Start praying. The man Charles Finney was a man that took the world. You know Charles Finney? Charles Finney was such a man that he could shake you. You know, sometimes he came into a place one day, workshop, and then I can't remember the full story now. I think one of the guys looked at him and started crying. People see him and feel convicted for their sins. I'm not joking. But you see, and he had some kind of converts in his crusades. History has it that man's converts, they don't go. There are converts that stay. He was a man of prayer. One of the things that helped his ministry was prayer. Two ways. One, he was a man of prayer himself. He was a man that had a constant prayer life of 5 to 8 a.m. every day. It was noon. Everybody knew it. 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. every day. You might not be able to build that kind of thing. You know why? Because that time will not suit you. You might be a civil servant. You get the point? Or you're working. But this guy, of course, was a full-time preacher. 5 to 8 every day. Aside from all that thing that can happen. Till he died. And they had a man called Father Daniel Nash. You've heard of him? Daniel Nash was a man of prayer. He stood by Finney. Any place Finney was going to go and preach, Father Daniel Nash was a kind of a wealthy guy. He was a prayerful person. So one thing, if Finney was going to go to a place to preach, he went with the likes of, there were about two, he said, some of them, he would go with them. They would go maybe 2 weeks to the place where Finney would come for a meeting and be praying in that place until the crusade. They don't even attend the crusade. They'd be praying over the city. They'll be praying over the city till after the crusade. They will still be there. They go 2 weeks before
and come back 2 weeks after. 2 weeks after that, praying for the souls that have been won. Every place we never went to preach. I didn't get the point.
So look at the impact of that ministry. It's prayer.
Amen. Are you still here?
It's prayer. Father Nash was such a man. Oh my God. That guy was a man of prayer. He would stay in there praying. He had a prayer list. When he died, they opened the list. The prayer list was the names of unbelievers he wanted saved. Sometimes he goes to those villages where Fina was going to go and preach and request for the names of almost everybody in that community. Give him a list. He would stun them. You see, that's prayer. So we find out you must build a consistent prayer life. But apart from the man, Fina himself, at least 5 to 8 a.m. every day. That's 3 hours daily. Basically, you know how life is. Prayer can still interrupt your day. You know it happens. But this one, whether it interrupts or not, basically. Are you still here? And what I'm talking about is not for you to finish. What I'm talking about is not for you to, for me to finish this message now. And you now shut up and start praying. No, I'm saying don't pray after this message. After this message, write down how you will pray. Because it's not to steer you up into prayer and after the laka, you just go. And after you will come for program, we want to pray for 4 hours. You just get tired. You know, let me tell you, if we be praying for 3 hours at home every day, when we come here, 4 hours will mean nothing to you. You get the point? That's all we come here from the 1 hour. You see, whenever we're praying here, I can easily sit down on my seat as the pastor and tell everybody's prayer life. Because some people, how you know they don't have a strong prayer life? One just pass one. They don't have one staying power. Once just get it into 120 degrees, the person just starts. I say shandala, shandala. You know, here he says, it's not about standing up. It's not about standing up. You now sit down. No, you first kneel down. It's not about kneeling down. You now sit down. The posture does not matter. God hears you. Anyhow you are. You now sit down. For you know, it's not about lifting your head. You can bow down. So the Bible says, bow down your head in prayer. The next time you wake up, they're saying, wake up, we are going home. You've slept off. And then the reason is because at home, there is no strong routine. Hallelujah. So you must be a consistent president. What other thing should I be consistent with? I must be consistent with commitment to church and ministry. Commitment to church. I'll still come to how to build consistency. I must be consistent with church and ministry. In Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10. I showed this scripture last Sunday. The writer of Hebrews was writing to the Hebrews. He said, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shewed towards his name. In that, what happened? You have ministered to the saints. And so he's talking about two different things. They have ministered. And even now, they still minister. That's consistency. I've kept praying this prayer for you. May you never have a better yesterday. May you never get to a time in your life and you say, man, I remember those days we used to bomb for God. I get the point. May marriage never make it happen to you. May money never make this thing happen to you. He said, the day that you minister to the Lord, and you still do minister, many people once, you see, that's why many people are saying, you see, you can go into politics. You see, if you must go into politics as a believer, make sure before you join politics, you are a consistent person. That's how you join politics, that you just win small counselor. You stop coming to church. In my higher day and welfare. Where? Ordinary counselor. You're not even anything. House of assembly. You are just in Enugu here. State house. Say, man, time my daddy. They just make you special advisor. Nothing serious. Special advisor. And sometimes special advisor to the governor or nothing. And yes, you won't become, and that's because you don't have consistency. He said they've been ministering to the Lord, but they're still doing it now. A ministry to the sense. That must be you. You must be a consistent minister. You see, church attendance, for instance, this year. Let me not. I want your pastor to be so sure that anytime he comes to church that you must be around. You know, there are people that when they're around in church, you know. There are people that when they're not around, you can make it. You say,
it must be something serious.
You know why? Because the person has built a reputation of consistency. But there are people when you see them in church, you'll be like,
you came today. Thank you for coming.
Frustrating your pastor. Hallelujah. He must build a reputation of, he said, you minister to the Lord and do minister. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, Paul was talking about being, I mean, not Paul, of course, right?
The writer of Hebrew. It could be Paul, it could be anybody. Personally, okay, it could be Paul. He's not Paul. Hebrews 10:25. He was talking to them about being in church. He said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is.
Some people have a culture of forsaking coming to church. Always be in church. And be like the house of Stephanas.
You know about them?
Be like them. Always committed. In 1 Corinthians 16 verse 15, Paul was talking about this family. And this kind of family I want you to build. And you get the point? He was talking about them. And look at what he said about them. He said, that's 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 15. He said, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruit of Achaia, and that they have what? Addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. May you have this addiction. Get it? Their addiction was ministry. I know, I chose this scripture for a reason. You know what they call it? What is addiction? Something that you can no longer control. How is addiction formed? Consistency. You see, you're addicted to smoking. I know what your problem is. You started with one stick. Or maybe not, if I started with half stick, when somebody else gave you, just did, say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You did it again. Gradually over time. You became a smoker. And you now got to a point, you can no longer do without it. You now be defending it. That's just me. That's just me. That's not you. Are you a chimney? Hey, that's just me. That's just me. How can that be you? Hallelujah. Praise God. That same way, you can do ministry to a point that it becomes your addiction. Hallelujah. It's a holy addiction. Amen. He said, these guys have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Oh. Second thing, consistent with commitment to church, consistent with one other thing, one other important thing I want to talk about is giving. I'll talk about giving, I'll talk about relationship, and then life. And I'll tell you how to be consistent. Amen. You must be consistent with giving. You see, I want to say this to you, friends. You see, the work of ministry cannot grow by your kind of giving. This giving that you give us once in every 2 years cannot keep ministry growing. If you must be a person that gives consistently. In Romans 12 and verse 13. You know, I like you. Everything you're going to do this year should be consistent. You should be consistent with it. In Romans 12 verse 13, he said, distributing to the necessity of the saints, giving to hospitality. Give me like NLT of this verse. Giving to hospitality. Then NLT says, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. You see, you find out giving should not be what you do once in a while. Giving, you see, the way prayers, you have a routine. Your giving should have a routine. Let me give you an example. That's why in this church, we do partnership. You know about partnership? I will talk more about it tomorrow. We do partnership where we ask you to decide a particular percentage of your money that you'll be giving to God every week or every month to help the work of ministry. That is how to build a consistent giving life, where you put yourself on that kind of routine. Let me show you something. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 2. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 2. Look what it says. He said, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. As God, this is the scripture where we pick the issue of partnership from. He said, every day of the week, set aside something, put up like NLT. Every day of the week. So you can do every day of the month. Look at this. On the first day of each week, you should each put aside a portion of the money you have earned. That's where we get partnership from. I get the point. Where you say, so Paul is, when is the first day of the week? So Paul explained that every Sunday,
I should set aside a particular amount I've earned. Not like everything you've earned. You get the point? He said it's a portion of what you have earned. But the only difference between this and tithing is that in the Old Testament, he tells them they must give 10%. But here, Paul says any portion you want to set aside. You get what I'm talking about? A portion. Don't wait till, until I get there and then try to collect it all at once. See? So Paul teaches instrumental giving, but consistent one. Are you here? He said every day of the week, set it aside. For instance, from this month or next month rather, we'll start taking our partnership in churches every day, every Sunday. Why? You want to be able to have a consistent giving life. That every day I'm going to set aside, you can decide every month I'll set aside 1K, depending on your earning. I'll set aside 100K. You can decide, okay, I'll break it down into days. Every Sunday, 1,000. Every Sunday, 7,000. Or this Sunday, what I have is 2,000. Just set aside a portion. But you must build, you see, the work of the ministry cannot grow if there are no consistent givers. Ministry will not prosper in Enugu, in your city, your locality, if everybody begins to give once in a while like you. Let me tell you, everything you see us doing in ministry today is because there are people that are giving consistently. There are people that are, for instance, in Enugu Center now. You know, God, Paul was talking about I'm sorry, the apostles gave one guy. You know Barnabas? It was the apostles that gave him the name Barnabas. You know what that name meant? Son of consolation. Son of consolation. Why? He gave, you know, some people's giving are consolations to the church. I've said he sold something. Yeah, I said this guy. You know, there are people even in this church that I look at them as sons of consolation. When the world is about crashing, their money must enter. I'm telling you that some people, you know, when the way was coming up, that people have just been thinking, what do we do? I just see an alert. I say, oh. And you see, the way we pray for such people. So, sir, you pray when money enters. You don't know. You don't know. Pray for the blesser. You see, the same way she gave. Give her more to give. You know one thing about giving? Giving is of the heart. It's not about how much you have. When people say things like, sir, don't worry. Like I was saying it in church on Thursday, they were laughing. Sir, don't worry. Let me blow. If I blow, I'll buy you private jet. I'm so sure you will not buy anything. You say how? Because you earn 200 naira and we've not even seen 5 naira. You will not buy nothing. Because it's here. He said every day. So you must be consistent with giving. Hallelujah. Must be a consistent giver. That's why we come up with partnership. Now, let me talk about something that's your relationship. God instructed me specifically to address this issue. You must be consistent with your relationships. Hallelujah. You see, I said something in church on Thursday. I want to say it again. If you have people that have been in your life for the past 6 years, 7 years, that have been a blessing to you, that are born again, they've been in your life since 7 years, don't discard them. You see, don't be in it. Some people are so inconsistent with their relationship. Your best friend today is not your best friend tomorrow. That's an inconsistent person. Are you what I'm talking about? Are you getting what I'm saying? An inconsistent person. And I was saying on Thursday, the way some of you quickly choose bestie amazes me. Someone you met 2 days ago, you say, my bestie. What is bestie again? You know, it's amazing. Somebody goes for service. Within 1 year, he has gotten a soulmate. How does your heart mate? No. How does your soul easily mate like that? Under 1 year, the person now leaves service and starts serving. He has to mate again. You see, I'm saying this because you cannot be that inconsistent. That's why some of you, that you cannot pick one person that's been in your life for the past 5 years. You keep breaking relationships here and there. Because the person wore yourself past. You guys are quarreling. I can never forgive her. Because you see that last point. You keep breaking relationships here and there. You do not know that later in life, it is the networks you have built now that will help you later. You see life? Networks. You think it's people you meet next year
And when you get, so you want to contest for something, you think it's people you meet that year that will sponsor you and give you like 10 billion naira to do politics. They won't give you. Who are you? They met you 2 months ago. They don't even trust you. It is people that have been in your life for the past 20 years, 25 years, that will bring out money and say, we trust you. Go. I know what I'm talking about. Even if you are Dangote, you cannot use your money to sponsor election. Ask Governor Ifeanyi Ugwuanyi. Ask him. Every billboard you see, powered by, it's not him. I didn't get the point. Don't be in a hurry to just tear relationships. And even in ministry, you just meet people, you just break relationships. There are people, you cannot count someone that has been in your life for the past 6 years, past 5 years. They are busy destroying everything here and there. Everywhere you pass, you close the door. Everywhere you pass, you close the door. Those doors you are closing, you might want to enter them again tomorrow. Be very concerned. And we'll talk about this friends, spiritual fatherhood, mentorship. Some people that were your mentors 2 years ago, you don't even talk to them again. You have dismantled them. Sometimes for no reason. For your carelessness. And that is not right. I understand. I did a teaching on spiritual relationships and I explained there are few cases where you might have to end such relationships. Remember I said that? Get that message, part 1, part A, B, C. There are cases, I understand there are cases where you have to end. Rare cases you have to end some relationships. But apart from some of those things, don't be in a hurry to close relationship doors. And that's why some of you see, in this church, in case you don't know, we take courtship very seriously. You see, next month, we are starting Singles Connect for those of us in Enugu here. We are will be teaching on relationship almost every month. And this I'm doing that many of us are messing things up. You see, in this church, we take courtship very seriously. That's why we say, and I'm still saying it, that if you find somebody you are in love with, don't go and approach the person. Come and tell me or tell the leadership. And you say, why are you saying that? We take courtship very seriously here. Don't be a person that start dating one person, break up with the person tomorrow, start dating another. What are you? And let me tell some guys here, the reason why some girls have been asking and they don't want to answer you is because you didn't tell me. Because they've told me and I told them no. And the reason is, I'll tell them, see, any man, let me tell you, sisters, listen to me. Any brother that wants to drag you into a secret relationship is in a secret court. And don't accept such things. You know, because here, what we want to do is to build a ministry where, even though you are not married, we are cotton. But we know that this thing is here to stay. You know what I'm saying? It's here to stay. You don't be a person that, before you get married, you have 20 exes. X1, X2, X3. And it's not my daughters you use for that kind of thing. No. Not use them for experiment. You are now X-Men. You got X and X. You are now X-Men. We don't know where to help you from. See, don't be like that. And I've heard a lot of things. Though this ministry, we have a lot of reputable real people that have good whatever, but I know some of you are trying to be mad. Don't be like that. You see, don't, and because I've got that surely, don't get into a relationship with a girl if you are not sure you're going to stay with that girl to the later and marry the person. What are you trying to do? You're testing the waters. And let me tell you, sisters, the reason why they want it secret is because they know they're not serious. When a man is serious, he said, you know, he said, tell everybody I'm here. Because see, this church, and that's why I say, before you start dating, think about it very well. Because I, Pastor Henry, I will mark you. You are not going anywhere. You have entered, you will stay there. You cannot get tired. The Lord has called you. You will be attached to that ministry for life. And you better think well. We will pursue you all over the place. Even if you leave this church, we will bring the girl home. Now, what I'm saying this is a lot of crazy things. You see, people, and that's why, because you just want to be an inconsistent person in relationships. Finally, when you are married, you've hurt like 7-8 ladies. And what does that make you? Jagaban. A strong man. Hallelujah. What does that make you? It just makes you a very inconsistent person. And the same way you are dealing with your courtships like that, you don't know the truth is you are destroying many other things about you, many other relationships. Because you know this life is very connected. I get you break a heart today, know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that you will need tomorrow. And why God will not pay you back with your sin? Man does. I hope you know that. It only takes a very renewed mind not to pay you back with your sin. Very renewed, normally pay you back. You think after breaking my heart, I say, and you know sometimes it just makes you an irresponsible person. Oga, get into something. Sit down there. And I'm going to, when I start teaching you how to be consistent, if you are not sure of what you want, stay out. Let me tell you about relationship. You are not sure of what you want, let us be friends. And sisters too, let us be friends. Somebody's asking you and say the pressure was just too much. I just said yes. What are you self? Let us see, no matter the pressure, let us be friends. Because I don't know, let's be friends for now. And then if we do that friendship over time, if it does not work, all of us can go our way. Nobody's hurting against the other person. I don't get what I'm saying. Nobody's angry. Nobody's saying you hurt me or I hurt you.
You know, and feel this very strongly.
And then you get into the relationship, be there. You see, when you are, I don't know whether I should say this, but you will remember this many years from now. When you are dating and breaking up, you are training your heart for divorce.
Let me say to you,
you are training your heart to divorce tomorrow. Because your heart will learn how to enter and come out, enter and come out. So tomorrow when you are married, when your husband does and you don't say, I can leave you. You're training your heart for divorce. And very important. And what I'm saying is that it's a rebuke to many of you. And it should be like that. Mind yourself. You know, and let me tell you, like I was thinking, it was starting, I said it was a joke. I'm not joking, you know. Some of the girls that are not looking at you, that's the reason. Because some of them, you know why? Because, you know, and some sisters, sometimes when I tell you, leave that guy, leave him. What I'm telling you to leave him is that the same way you told me he's striking you, about two other girls have told me. And then when they tell you, so when I come and say, what you don't know, I have loyal sons and daughters in this place. They tell me everything, all your misdoing, misworking. So when they are greeting me, I'm just laughing. Many things are going on in my mind. I say, this brother, I'm just looking at you. I know you. Hallelujah. Now I'm joking with this. And whenever I say serious things like this, I like turning them into jokes. So you can receive it with your heart and be smiling too. So you will not be crying while receiving it, but you must receive it. Hallelujah. So take those things very seriously. Amen. Well, truth is, I'm grateful to God for this ministry. We are not irresponsible. As you should forget all this I'm saying. These things don't really happen here. Yeah, I've heard it just one or two persons. And then if you are surprised it's happening among the saints, it's not happening among your own saints. Happens everywhere. We are all growing. I get the point. But we have a very organized, orderly ministry. I'm not praising us. That is what we have. You get the point? That this is one of the places you cannot hear. You will hardly hear things like brother in the choir is sleeping with sister in the usher. You can't hear those things here. I'm telling you, this is one place you can't hear such things. While I know there are tendencies of them trying to happen, are very minimal. I get the point? But we're going to eradicate it totally. And it's like this. Let me not catch you. Amen. And then finally on where you must be concerned. What I'm saying is we consider your relationship. Because you know, marriage will demand consistency, right? You know, marriage, you know, somebody said marriage is like they give you a television, give you the remote control. The television has like 60 something channels, and they leave you with one channel, leave you with the remote control and tell you not to change it. So you must train yourself to be consistent with watching Nta. And God punish you is Nta that they put for you. You know Nta. God punishes enter, but you must be there. You must learn to, you know, they will not start teaching you, learn to enjoy enter. You're not beginning to see Google to say enter is not really that bad. You know, even though that camera is not digital, but at least that passing information. But you must be consistent. Stay there. Amen. Amen. And finally, I'm going to say be consistent with your life endeavors, your studies,
your business. I've talked that already. Your studies, your business. Please be consistent with it. If you see, if God has led you to start something, especially some of you that started brands this last year, started a company, I say a couple of started a company, started whatever, continue doing it. Don't stop. One of my friends was telling me of his mentor. He's a contractor. He was telling me about his mentor. That this guy told him that there was a time that he would stay 12 months. He would not get one building contract. 12 whole months. He will be on Facebook. And you say, but if you see him on Facebook, you think he's building house everywhere. You just be posting the best builders in the world. Building all over the place. He has no 12 months, no contract. And one day he now got one to come and remove zinc and put a new zinc. You know that kind of car? But the guy I'm talking to you about now is giving cars to people. The man, if I call him, all of you know him. He's a very wealthy guy in this Enugu now. In the southeast. Giving cars, doing different things. He wants to go into airways self. Through that same contracting thing. Why? Because you keep pressing and keep pushing. I get him. Stop cutting corners. Continue. You see, you're doing business. Continue. Just have a consistent whatever. And then, let me tell you just four things. How to develop consistency. Have you been blessed? Number one, before you start anything, count the cost. Count the cost. The Bible said if any man wants to build a house, he will sit down and count the cost. You see, you cannot be consistent at something that you did not think about very well before you started. You see, before we started doing church, we sat down, we thought very well. And I knew all the consequences and all the implications. And we entered still. Are you still here? Count the cost. You want to start a business, count the cost. Think about it. What if I start it and this happens? I will still stay. That's what I was talking about relationship. Before you start dating, think it very well. Is this really what I want? Will I stay with this girl forever? Count the cost. Before you get married, count the cost. Before you get into school, count the cost. Get the point. Before you get into school. So think things through. Think things through. Count the cost. The Bible said if you want to build a house, you sit down and count the cost. You make your budget. Look at what it's going to take. Count the cost. Decide. Look at. Be aware that this is what it's going to cost you. It might deny me this. What if I start this thing and my family turns against it? Know that those things can happen. Count the cost very well and then make up your mind to enter and not quit. Then secondly, I'm going to say, pray for strength. One of the major reasons why people quit is that they lack strength. In Proverbs 24 verse 10, he gives a very strong instruction. Proverbs 24 and verse 10. He said, if thou faint in the day of adversity, what did he say? Your strength is small. So why do people faint? It's not actually the adversity. Because people say, why I fainted, why I stopped was, the problem was too much. No, the reason people faint in adversity is not the adversity itself. Their strength is small. That's why you should pray for strength. In Ephesians 3:14, he said that you might be strengthened with might in your inner man. You can begin to pray, Father, I receive strength. I receive strength. It is lack of strength that makes people quit easily. Because you know, anything you're going to get into in life, adversities will come. I hope you know that. Adversities will come. Challenges will come. But you must decide, you must pray, you must develop strength to stand through even in the midst of that adversity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you pray for strength. You pray for strength. Very important. You pray for strength. You pray for strength. Then, okay, what other thing will you do? And one of the things I said, one way to draw strength is if there is something you want to do and you received prophetic words over those things, draw strength from those words that you got. That's one major way to get strength. You know, when our church was passing through that time, that difficult period, one of the things I did was to get to my notes. That's why we give you what you write it. I went to my notes where I wrote the first things the Lord spoke to me about platform of grace in 2011, 2010, 2012. Far back, I went to those notes. I started looking at them again. I get me draw strength from those things that the Lord has said to you over time. You want to start a school.
you praying about it. God says, do this, do this. Where you start, and then two students are coming. Go back. You see, that's why I say the first thing is to count the cost. Be sure you know what you want to do. Be sure God is leading you. Be sure God is in this thing. Then, when those things come up, just draw strength from the fact that, okay, God said, He said this, He said that. And God is not a man. He will never lie. And pastors, I'm talking to you. God has told you many things about when you are, when you want to start your center, you pray things through. God said this will happen. When it looks like those are not happening, go back to those things God said to you. Look at them again. Let it fire you up to continue. I get what I'm saying. I get what I'm saying. Draw strength from those things that God has said to you. Draw strength from there. And then let me say one more thing that will help you. If you're going to build consistency, developing consistency, passion. Have a strong passion and desire for whatever you are doing. When there is passion burning in you, you will hardly quit. Men quit when they lose passion. Oh, do you realize that when a guy is in a relationship and really, really loves the girl, and really, really loves the girl, if the girl might even be misbehaving, what will he be doing? He'll be making excuses for the girl. That's why you have ladies in a relationship where the man beats them. But because in their heart, they love and are passionate towards that person, they will stay. You get the point? That's the same thing. Develop strong passion for whatever you are doing. And I'm going to encourage you, don't do things you're not passionate about. Don't start business because everybody's starting it. If you jump in, you will jump out. I had a lot of people that jumped into ministry like with us. Say, they jumped in, those jump in and jump out. Amen. You know how you... Okay, let me not say that. You just jump in and you jump out. You must be very passionate about what you are doing. Then even about business. Don't just enter into a business because you heard it's paying. Are you getting me? Let me tell you. You want to get into school, whatever. Because na ego in a school system. If that is your reason, you will come out if it's not doing well. But you see, when you are passionate about, I want to impact students or whatever the reason, that passion will be driving you. Of course, that passion can go. I hope you know. When it's not working well, that passion can begin to go. You now refer back to my last point. Strength. You get the point? What has God said to you? Draw strength from it. Now, that's number one now. Okay, number four. Focus. One strong way, and that's where I'm going to dwell and close. One strong way to build consistency is focus. You see, once you are distracted, once you are not focused, once you are distracted, you will become inconsistent. Men of consistency are men of one eye. Jesus said, let your eye be single. Looking at one thing. All my life, all my days in ministry, I've had one focus. It was Bishop Edibo that said, he said, it is men of one thing that succeed. Men of one thing. Men of one thing. Jesus said, this one thing. One thing I do. Paul said, one thing I do. You must be a man of one thing. Consistently focused on what you are doing. Focus is one very key thing. Many of us, you know, I put something on WhatsApp and everyone shared me up and was like, I think you have to teach on overcoming distractions, right? Remember that day? I said something, I said, where you are going to is not far. It is the many distractions on your way that are delaying your journey. That's the truth. To where you're going to is very close. It is these many distractions that are on your way that will slow you down. And that's sincere truth. You know, from Israel, from Egypt to Canaan, was not supposed to take them that long. At different points, they were distracted. At different points, they were murmuring against God. At different points, and it took them 40 years. Actually, the Bible said it should have taken how many? 40 days. But distraction kept them on that road for 40 years. If you're going to get where you're going to and be consistent with it, you know what made them not to get there? They were not consistent. They will go and stop. But if they were focused, they will get there. Where you're going to is very close by. But then you're easily distracted. Distractions, crazy distractions. Some of them are relationships, friends. Some of them are just crazy things. And I was talking to you guys before the year started. Some of your distractions can be social media. Will you uninstall that app? Do it. Many things that stand on your way to distract you. You know, there are friends, not girlfriend or boyfriend, there are friends that should leave your life alone, or you should shift away from a little. And when I'm talking about friends leave your life alone, I'm not talking about breaking contact with them entirely. Learn not to break relationships. You get the point? You can shift from people without quarreling with them. I hope you know it's true. That's why never leave any door closed. You can shift from people and still leave the door open. Don't shift and shut the door. You get the point? But there are people you need to shift from actually. Once you want to study your Bible, this your guy calls you and you guys are gisting. What are you guys talking about? These are distractions from your study life. Amen. Amen. You're a business guy. You're just starting up your firm. You start at work. You're meant to be at work from 7 to 6. Every 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock, somebody calls you, let's hang out. You see, that person is the devil in human form. He may not even know he's devil. Oh, he is. Because he's just destined as a distraction. And once you yield to that distraction, you lose focus. You lose focus. Be focused. The Bible said, let your eye be single. Looking at one thing. Following it. And I told you, and when this is your case, you don't quit. You don't quit. You keep trying. Every firm you know today wanted to stop. As there was a time they were tired, but somebody decided to focus. Your eye on the ball. You're looking at it. When you're moving with the ball to the post to go and score, if you're a footballer, you don't remove your eye. Get the point there. Look, you're just going. If you know, imagine, and let me tell you, when you want to be focused, talking about men, you must not listen to men. Both their criticisms and their applause. I say it again. Both their criticisms and their applause. Whether they're shouting, men, now you be good, don't look at them. Or whether they're saying, this guy is not doing well, don't look at them. Your eye on the mark. Imagine if you are running, you are all these 100 meters relay or 400 meters relay, and you start taking first, they'll be cheering you up. Imagine you just stop and start telling them, yes, my people, well done. They're just telling you, yes, and I say, you are coming last. Or imagine you are running and somebody starts talking from the crowd and starts saying, see how he's running like vulture. This one will not go anywhere. And you now stop and say, thunder fire, use your father that is running like vulture. At that point, whatever that's saying does not matter. Just be running. I know what I'm saying. I've told you guys about Pastor Joel Austin. You know Joel Austin? He said, Joel Austin is a son to John Austin. John Austin was one of the greatest men that America ever had. Man of God, pastor, started Lakewood Church. And the Lord had told him that your son Joel will take over from you. And then he has been packaging Joel for it. And so one day, the first day Joel preached in church, the father came and announced, said, I'm done. My successor is here. And he said, as he was coming down, he heard two women talking. And said, well, the guy, he tried, but I don't think he will do like his father. I don't think he can handle this church like his father. This thing will just collapse. He's trying, Sha. Poor boy. He's trying, but the shoes, very big shoes. You know, he said he almost died. Can you imagine, after preaching in church, as I'm going, I heard two people talking, say, he's trying, Sha, but you know, rich. You know, it's at that point, whatever they're saying should not count. Imagine if Joel got distracted by that and said, Dad, I told you I can't do this. But the guy kept pushing. Lakewood Church now is the biggest church in the U.S. I hope you know. The largest single congregation in the whole U.S. The same man they say he couldn't make it. You know, focus on the mark. Don't even try to, you know, another mistake some of you do is get distracted by what people say and you now start working hard to prove a point to them. Not even, that's not the issue. Just be running. You get the point? pay deaf ears to the praises. You know why I say praises? Sometimes praises can bring you down. Praises. I told you guys, times that number. David killed one man, Goliath. And they composed, the choir came together and did a song for him. A spiritual song. He said, Saul has killed his 1,000, while David has killed his 10,000. You see, David, it's the only foolish man that will say, man, I killed 10,000. Tell yourself the truth. You killed one man. Get the point? One man. But you see, the praise of men can make you feel like you are not what you are not. The foolish person, he say, guy, I enjoy your teaching more than Papa's own. When you are teaching, I just say, shh. You better see. That person is trying to kill you. You know what it's going to do to you? It will now distract you from learning. You will now start feeling like, man, do you know the truth? I'm not joking. Somebody told me this same thing I'm telling you now. Guess when? 2007. I was not up to 1 year as a believer. The person told me, I enjoy your ministration more than one of the men will follow them. 2007. Imagine what I was ministering that time. 2007. These are demons in human form. God, a man of God that was our mentor then, that we revered then. He said, I enjoy your ministration more than his own. What kind of thing is that one? Why are you comparing me? And let me tell you something. The reason why many of you quit is comparison. The Bible said, comparing themselves with themselves, they are not wise. It is foolishness. And most of the time, you begin to compare yourself. It's part of the distraction I'm talking about. Comparison is a big distraction. Our church is not doing like their church. Our church must do like their church. Let me do like them. Comparison, you can learn from people. You can learn from people. But don't compare yourself with them. Elijah, imagine Elijah. Elijah got a point and said, I'm not better than my fathers. Elijah. You must learn not to compare yourself with some people. Nobody is your mate. You know, I've kept telling you this thing. Nobody is your mate. Don't compare yourself. And don't ever talk about your success in relation to other people. Don't say things like, I'm succeeding more than Pastor Amaka. You get the point? I am succeeding. Simple. You get the point? You're succeeding. Don't compare yourself with people. Focus on your work. Anything you focus on and do consistently over time will produce results. I am telling you. You get the point? Like Ella now, some of those things you wanted to do last year, some of them did not work. In my thinking, just try them again. Strike again. Do it again. Do it again. One day you will stand up and tell your own story. They will now call you to motivate young people. You will now tell them, in our own days, we wanted to stop. But you know, that's motivational speaking. He said, but you know, one day my pastor called me and he looked into my eyes. He said, be strong. And I went to my, looked into the mirror and I told myself, you can do it. You can make it. And I stood, one day you'll be telling this kind of story. I hope you know. But you cannot tell people this story if you've not been a consistent person over time. The only thing motivational speakers fail to tell us is the process before they got to where they were going to. You know, here I just started. And suddenly, stop. Oh. Stop it. It was Donald Trump that said that the father gave him a small loan of $1 million for him to start. That's how he said it. That the father gave him a small loan of $4 million. And he now started. Lord, I need a small loan. Hallelujah. You know, but the point is, don't compare. So now, I mentioned Donald Trump for a reason. You see, that really tells that his father was wealthy. Doesn't tell you? Wealthy man. And now he starts off in less than 1 year. He's all over the world. And then you started, your father is a nobody. And in 2 years, you feel you are not yet where he is. You didn't start like him. Don't get discouraged. Just keep building. I know what I'm talking about. Keep building. You didn't start like him. You know, some people have a leverage over you just by the circumstances around their birth. I told you guys, just like Daniel Colander now. At 26, he was already all over the world. Why? By his own ordination, that Bonky picked him. You get the point? They began to preach on Bonky's platform from when he was about 23 or 24. Now you start a ministry, you are building. The fact that you are not yet there doesn't mean you are not doing well. Just be building. Are you what I'm talking about? Consistently. Don't ever stop. Your eyes on the mark. 2020. Focus. Just be going. If there are friends that will distract you, shift from them. Focus. Spiritual life, just focus on it. Focus on it. Focus on it. And one of the things that will help you this year, you need less distractions. You need less friends in your life. You know what I'm saying? Need less friends in your life. Friends that try to take your eyes off the mark. Some of them need to take them off your life. Just intelligently shift them. Focus. You want to get the best of results this year in your academic work. Focus. And this will influence your friendship. Get people around you that you can be taking. Let's go and read. Let's go and read. How can you have friends that the only thing they know, everywhere birthday parties happening in the school? Is anybody your friend? I used to have a friend. We nearly became friends in first year. A lady. I talked to her friends. So how we stop being friends? Once we are working together, from here to here, she's greeting someone. Do you have such friends? But they say, see my sister. Yeah. One day I asked her, you know everybody in this school? She said, no, just they're just my friends from pre-science. One day, second, by the thought I told, see, you cannot do. I went late to fellowship once. So the day they started this, I said, I'm going. Meet me there. So she got angry. You couldn't even wait for me. I said, see, I will not be waiting for you again. And from there, you know, we still talk. How are you? Fine. But I can't be working with you. You're greeting everybody in the world. Now, that's just the physical aspect of it. But there are people like that. They know where everything is happening in school. And you keep those people as your friends in school. Let me tell you, success is very predictable. You can tell the soup someone will make from the ingredients the person bought. Success is predictable. That's the truth. As I can watch your life and tell where you will be tomorrow. Don't judge me. Nobody's judging you. Your life is judging you. I can look at your life and tell where you will be. There are some of you I know that will carry strong ministry in the future. I know. Because I've seen some of your consecration. You know, one of the secrets to a great ministry is consecration. A very strong consecration in prayer, fasting, study of the word. I've seen some of them. I know I've observed some. Let me say this and we'll close. I observed something recently. Most of the great men you see at the top now, they knew themselves when they were growing up. Most of them had the same consecration. I'm telling you. Then I found out that Sam Adeyemi is an elder brother to Victor Adeyemi. They all grew up together. These are two great men of God in this country now. I found out that W.F. Kumuyi and E.R. Adeboye grew up together and prayed together. I'm telling you, these are not coincidences. So. That's what I'm saying. And so if you're just an anyhow person, I can tell where your life is going to. I can tell where your life is going to. I was listening to Prophet Isaiah Boba the other day. He was talking about when they grew up with Oedipo. At the time, Oedipo just took off. He said he knew something has taken over that guy. He himself, he began to press too. That's why you see association will determine a lot of things. Be focused. It may take time, but consistently. Pray consistently. Study consistently. Be hitting. Some of you this year, you will hit the same things you did last year over and over again. You won't be a makeup artist. You just put up your post on Facebook, patronize me, flashy makeups. Nobody is coming. Nobody will come. But keep putting it there. You get the point? Keep putting new ideas. Keep putting it there. One day somebody will just call you. You know there are things. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I don't know why God is interrupting my teaching this afternoon. I want to close now. You know there are days we call. How do I call them now? There are days when you are not anything. And those days are very important times in your life. When nobody wants to know you. You put up a post on Facebook, no like at all. You like your post. There are days like that. Are you getting me? There are days like that. And that's where some of you are. Are you getting the point? But see those days? They're very important. There are days where you have been made. Just be consistent. Be doing the same thing you are doing. There are days you put up program, nobody wants to attend. The Great Red Monkey once put up meetings that had 30 people, 20 people. Nobody wants to listen to you. There are days like that. But has the Lord called you? Has He sent you? Has He told you what you must do? Don't stop. Just keep pressing. Am I talking to you? There are days like that. Some of us are even still in those days. You put, do program, do poster, hang it everywhere. Nobody wants to come. There are days like that. But Oga, just be pushing. Get the point? Just be pushing. It is only foolishness that will make you stop. Read about any man you call great. There are days like that too. There are days. I heard a great man of God, a very big church in this country. He said they started with 5.5 members. He said 5.5 because the other one was half. The person was not sure whether he would stay or not. 5.5. This church is all over the world, in every country that accepts Christianity. The church is there. But then 5.5. And it stayed like that for long. But it's just because one man decided to keep striking until it produces results. Do we have consistent men in this place? We will stand. We will push. Amen. This year, we will strike and strike. Carry it over everything in your life, your academics, your business, your ministry, everything, your relationships. Just be a consistent person. Some of you are singers. You've released an album or released a song. You are the only one playing it in your room. Now, you know this song is good, but nobody just wants to hear it. You're even taking and showing people, sir, I did a song. They don't even want to see it. But, Oga, don't worry. And you find out how the thing is. When the blow finally comes, you will now bring out that first song you did 7 years ago. And they will start listening to it. That's how it is. Now they don't want to hear you. You see the messages we preach today. So I begin to refer to them 30 years that I'm saying, Kai, Kai, why are you shouting Kai? When I preach it, you are not there. You refuse to listen. But when later they will now say, I mean, this was a blessing. I wish I was there. You are there. They are in this Enugu now. They don't want to come around. But we must be pushing. One day, 10 years later, they will say, man, that teaching on prayer force, that thing blessed me. You are living beside our church when we're preaching that thing. But then we are not anything. I know what I'm talking about. There are such days. That's why the Bible will say, people have misunderstood that scripture of neglecting the days of your little beginning. You now choose to remain small. What it means is that there are actually little beginnings. It was Reverend that said, he said, the order of God is that something, that everything starts small. So the days of smallness are not bad days. Smallness only becomes a crime when you stay there for long. Do you get the point? There should be smallness. Days of smallness are not bad days. I'm speaking by prophecy now. That's the truth. I didn't plan to say all of this. Days of smallness, they are not bad days. Except you have been there more than is required. Even the Bible says that the kingdom of God is like a small seed when it is put, the mustard seed, when it is put to the ground. And later, it grows into a giant tree. There are small days. But never take smallness at the beginning as smallness forever. You know what I'm saying? The days of smallness are not bad days. Don't neglect them. Don't quit. Don't run. He that faints in the days of adversity, said his strength is small. In fact, the way Message put it, Message said, put up Message of that Proverbs 24. He said, if you face days of adversity, there was nothing to you at all. You are an empty vessel. Proverbs 24 verse 10. Message. Stand your feet. He said, look at what he said. He said, if you fall to pieces in a crisis, there wasn't much to you in the first place. It's a proof that you are not really, there's nothing much to you. If any small crisis, that's just collapse. I'm a man of consistency. Hallelujah. Just one prayer this afternoon. We are going to pray for strength. Ephesians 3:16, that you may be strengthened with might in your inner man. We're going to pray for strength. Strength to stay on course. Put up like in James, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. To be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. It is strength that has kept us going. It's not because everything was rosy.
It's just inner strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This message should be one of the major things that will guide you in this year. To stay, even when I'll be teaching about confession of faith in the evening, I'll still come back to this. Because it is something you will have to do over and over again. That's why I told you yesterday, renewing of your mind does not happen in one day. It takes years. But it's not what you do and stop. Consistency. Some of you might need to develop routines that you write down. I will study my Bible this time to this time. I will evangelism this time to this time. I will evangelize every Wednesday. I will fast every Monday. I will be in a retreat last weekend of every month. First weekend of every month. Bend down those routines. Bend down those routines. And start to stay by them. Because that is the only way you are going to bear fruit. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you will bear fruit. It is consistency that bears fruit. Consistency bears fruit. Just pray in the Holy Ghost wherever you are and pray for strength. I'm strengthened with might in my inner man. Might in my inner man. I want you to lift your voice. We're going to pray in the Holy Ghost. With my ministry, with my study life, in my prayer life, I will stay consistent. I will stay consistent. I will not turn from the left nor from the right. Years to come, I will be found doing the same thing. Years to come. Years to come.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.